This is Strange Harbor. Ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, and all things strange. Online at strangeharbor.net.
911, what are you reporting?
We got someone or something crawling around out here.
Did you see what it was? Was it a person or an animal or?
I can't tell. All I know is that my sensor light came on and I just happened to glimpse and see this thing running across the yard. A good sized man or something looks like a man. I don't know what it was. Just that it ran across the yard. Whatever it is, it's running. I couldn't catch it if I was going to chase it. Jesus Christ, you better.
Sure.
See ya.
Hello.
Get somebody out here.
What's going on now, sir?
That son of a bitch is about 6'9", I don't know.
Do you see him now, sir?
Yes, I'm looking right at him.
Is he in your yard, sir?
Yeah, God, he's big.
Okay, what's he doing in your yard?
He's looking at me.
Oh, and the guy is on foot?
It's a big, real big person, that's all I can say.
Okay, but it is a person.
Yeah, I'd say it was a person or somebody really big, but he's all in black.
Is he a black male or a white male? Did you actually see whether, or was he just wearing black?
He's all black and he's big. He is big.
Strange Harbor, ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange. Online at strangeharbor.net. This is Strange Harbor.
And another exciting episode of Strange Harbor, where we talk about the weird.
The strange, the unusual. Now I lost my train of thought.
Perfect intro.
Right.
Yeah, I was trying to think of my unwords today, and they just didn't come out.
Johnny and Billy here, and as promised from last week with David Ellis of the Olympic Project, we have Julie Wrench calling in. Julie, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. Glad to be here. Looking forward to this.
Can you give us a recap of how we got to this point? We got a bunch of audio that David played for us last week. We'll be playing some today, and how do you and David meet?
I'll make a long story short. I moved here 2 years ago, and the first year I lived here, we were very busy with the house and the property because it had been vacant for about a year. So I didn't get a chance to spend a lot of time outside at the fire pit like I love to do. So about 6, 7, 8 months after we moved in, when I was able to start taking a little bit of a break out there, and I started hearing some really strange sounds and vocals. And so finally one night I had recorded with my phone some video. It was about maybe 2 minutes long. And I had been sending audio to David Ellis for a couple years, other people's audio that they had sent to me, and he had been analyzing for them. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to send this to David Ellis, and he's going to tell me that those are just coyotes and everything's wonderful, and I can get on with my life. And so I sent him this couple minute clip, and he sent me back a couple of short 5-time loops like he does of some very unusual things that he found to be suspicious. And then he said, you know what, you live over there by the Uwari, how would you feel about doing an audio project? And so it went from, well, how do I do that, to us having hundreds of hours of audio to analyze, and that he's already analyzed. We have a lot of overnight audio still to analyze because I do leave the recorder out overnight a lot of times. But that's kind of how it all started. And, you know, instead of David telling me that, yeah, those are just coyotes and no big deal, it's like, well, I think you might have company. Then next thing you know, he was finding a lot of the same type of vocalizers and spectrograph signatures that matched stuff that other people had sent him to include over there at the project that he was doing with Donna and Greg. We had a lot of things in common, and we're like completely on two different coasts. So we decided we were going to share some of this audio publicly. This being the first time, this last couple of weeks here is the first time it's ever been shared publicly. And the reason why I wanted to do that is to see if there are other people out there who would like to send their audio in for some comparison, or if they've heard similar sounds, especially over here near the Uwari, where I live in North Carolina.
Well, thanks for sharing the audio that you had and letting us play it on our show. We appreciate that.
Sure. Kudos to David. David because I know he has spent so much time analyzing my audio. And then once I started learning how to do the spectrograph myself, I had to apologize to him because I was always going, did you get to that audio yet? How's that audio coming? Did you get to that?
Right.
And now I see that what all is involved in that, and it's not, it's very time consuming.
Right.
And,
right.
I had to apologize for always being so impatient. Every time David sends me new clips, it's like Christmas morning, you know, because I'm like, oh, wow, check that out. Or we have found some very unusual, to say the least, audio.
Shall we listen to some audio right now, you guys?
Yes. Let's do that.
Okay, what should we listen to first? Barks, grunts, huffs, and voices?
Yes.
Okay, let's do it. Wow.
Quite a collection of stuff.
Yeah, that was interesting.
That was a collection of various grunts and growls and voices. Is that stuff all from your area, Julie, or is that a combination of all over the country, or?
No, that's from my property. That is from a recorder that's sitting on my deck.
Wow.
So I am outside at the fire pit alone when these things are going on, and it can get a little unnerving out there.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah.
I bet. David, what's your take on this?
Well, I just wanted to alert people that you may have heard some real dogs barking in there.
Right.
Amongst some of the stuff that's not dog.
Right.
Or we suspect it's not dog. And this is all analyzed visually, and it's difficult to talk about stuff visually because we're just talking here.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to let people know that all of this stuff is analyzed visually, which leads us to believe there's some suspicious things going on. Mm-hmm. But yes, there are some dogs, just for some of the skeptical crew that's out there.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Well, I guess you'd already explained in the past that some of those sounds that the layman might say, oh, that's just an elk during mating season, but you've compared it to elk. Or whatever, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Right, and where I live, there's no elk, so that would be...
Yeah. What are some of the native animals that you have in your area, Julie?
Well, I can tell you that we have bobcat, we have gray fox, we have coyotes, we have red fox, we have wild turkeys, we have, of course, the deer, and all the small critters. Raccoons, mm-hmm. Possums. What we don't have is mountain lions. We don't have elks. So those are a couple of the ones that, you know, people may become suspicious right off and say, that sounds like a mountain lion. Well, there hasn't been one spotted in this area in 70-plus years. I'm thinking it's probably not a mountain lion, and it definitely is not an elk.
What about bear? Do you have many bear over there?
We do have some bear in the UR itself, but I have yet to find any evidence of bear on my property.
Right. Okay.
And I'm always out there looking.
One thing I'd like to add is that you have at least a minimum of 100 dogs within a quarter square mile.
Oh, yeah. Everybody down here has, like, big dogs and, like, oh, I don't know, God. 4, 5, 6 of them roaming
right.
their property.
My mom got dog when she moved back, and, everybody has a dog.
You want to talk a little bit about the significance of dogs, Julie?
Yeah, sure. I can tell you that... when I'm out at that fire pit and the sun starts to set, I can pretty much dead on tell you whether or not there's going to be activity by the groups of dogs, because I call them like my southeast dogs, my south dogs, my southwest dogs, my northeast dogs, and so forth. So what happens is it usually starts from my southeast south. The dogs start going absolutely ballistic, and... you know, you can hear in their tone that they're pissed at something. And then it'll move from one group of dogs to another group. And in the middle of this moving around, as they go around, it usually, like I said, starts from my south, southwest, west, north, then all the way around to my northeast and disappears. But that is when these vocals are caught a lot of time in the mixture of these dogs going postal. If it's quiet when the sun goes down, it's not going to happen that night. It's just, these dogs are like my alarm.
Yeah.
They know when something's up. I mean, I could just about bet you every time if the dogs are not aggravated, or the donkeys or the cows to the north of me aren't bellowing, then it's going to be a quiet night.
Well, it's interesting because in listening to that, the dog barks are very sharp, and the accompanying sounds are softer, smoother, deeper. There's actually quite a contrast between the dog bark and the other sounds.
Yeah, and you know, with my ear out there when I'm sitting there, I can hear some of that clearly and know now that I've been doing this for over a year. I'm like, yep, that sounds familiar. But there are some that are caught on the recorder that I don't necessarily hear at the time because they're so mixed in with the dog barks, and that's where the spectrograph becomes important, because not only can you hear it, but you can see it.
Right.
And David is really good at being able to go in there and tease out some of those unusual howls and growls, and I mean, it's just unreal some of the things that I hear around here.
Shall we hear more of these sounds, you guys?
Yes.
Let's go.
Okay, long vocals.
Thank you.
Sounds like the same individual.
Yes.
It does, yeah.
Now, most of those sounds there, if I heard out in the woods, I would run back to the house like a big sissy.
Yeah, there was one in there that I did just that. David calls it the campfire scream.
Yeah.
It's the one that sounds like two different individual things or whatever this is. And I'm not claiming this stuff's Bigfoot because I didn't see what made them, the sounds. Just telling you that it's suspicious, and it matches a lot of suspicious ones that David has been collecting over the years. But I did hear that one, and it sounded like it was no further than 200 feet away from me.
Oh, wow.
It was around 11 o'clock at night, and I got up and came into the house. I left everything outside. I called Shane Corson, and I said, you're staying on the phone, and you're going outside with me to get my stuff. So I carried him outside with me on the phone. I'd left my cell phone out there. I was on the landline. I left my cell phone. I left my recorder. I left, you know, everything out there and just came into the house because Jeff was not here. He was in Ohio. So I was by myself out here. And I did not dare go over there to see what that was because I swear it was like out of the blue. It was complete dead silence. And then that scream took off. And I'm like, holy cow.
Right.
I mean, I felt it go through my chest. That's how close it was.
Have you had any visuals since you've lived there?
No, I have not seen anything that you would consider to be a Sasquatch creature here visually. We did have, I'm on a team in Carolina Cryptid Field Research Team, and we've had several investigations here with myself and the team. And we did have a night vision camera running by the shed that has been banged on several times. And there was, it looked like a face pressing in through the foliage towards the bottom, close to the ground at one point. But, you know, it wasn't anything that I can say, oh, that's a Sasquatch. But it was very suspicious of what it was. And it just stayed there for like 10 minutes and then started backing out slowly.
So this next audio is called OCD.
Yep,
can
old
I
coon dog.
Make a comment?
Sure.
Okay, OCD stands for old coon dog. So when we first started listening or capturing this vocalization, it was vocalizing with dogs and vocalizing a lot of times like a dog would. But there was something just a little bit odd about the voice signature. And so I kind of really started following this particular voice, and it morphs into a lot of different things over time that has me suspicious about it. But there's at times you're going to listen to it and go, well, that's a dog. That's plainly a dog. And then there's other times you would hear it and you go, that ain't a dog. So it's just one of those that's really got us perplexed. I gave it the name Old Coon Dog because it's got kind of a baying quality to it. So, yeah, go ahead, Julie.
Well, another thing to keep in mind is a lot of times when I'm sitting out there, I will hear that particular vocalizer way far away at a distance. And within a half an hour to 45 minutes, it's very, very close. So I can actually hear it moving.
So here's Old Coon Dog.
Thank you.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Almost sounds like a holler.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. That last one kind of shows the really strange variation there. It's almost like it's talking.
What did the visual fingerprint show to a lot of those?
That it's different than a dog bark, and that's just about as short and quick as I can explain it without visually showing it to you so we can agree upon what we're looking at.
Right. I gotcha. Well, it's Strange Harbor, where we talk about the weird, and we have Julie Wrench from Monster X and David Ellis from the Olympic Project, and we're going over some of the Sasquatch sounds that Julie recorded in her neck of the woods, Tar Heel Country. We'll have more coming up on Strange Harbor.
You're listening to Strange Harbor, ghosts, UFOs, alien Sasquatch, all things strange. Online at strangeharbor.net. Strange Harbor. Be strange.
Welcome to Strange Harbor. If you've had an out-of-the-ordinary experience, then come to strangeharbor.net and let us know what it is.
Well, it's Strange Harbor, where we talk about the weird, and Johnny and Billy here, along with Julie Wrench of Monster X, David Ellis of the Olympic Project, and we're talking about the sounds. We heard some of the sounds last week, and we're listening to some of the sounds again this week, along with commentary from Julie, who recorded this stuff. And shall we do the Crow Talker?
Ooh, yes. That's one of my favorites.
Okay, here we go. Shall we do percussion?
Yes.
Yes, let's do that. I just heard a loud banging from over here. I'm sure that was caught on tape here. Or recording, rather. I'm not sure anything, but it sounded kind of like something hit the top of this outbound thing we have over here. It's got a metal roof.
almost sounded like there was a voice in
that last one.
Yeah.
What did the print say? Was that a voice?
Not a human voice.
Ooh.
Mm.
Creepy.
Yeah.
Okay, horn vocal. Just the average Joe, that could sound like just a dog yiping or harping out there.
Yeah, you'd have to see the visual to understand why it's not.
Right. It's not a dog because of the visual print that that audio created.
Correct.
Okay, let's go to short vocals. Really deep.
Yeah.
You got some chatterboxes out there in the woods, really?
Yeah.
Okay, how about some whoops? Now, Julie, you know, some people, when they hear knocks or hear whoops, they respond. Do you do any of that kind of stuff there in your woods?
Not, no, I do not.
Okay.
I don't know what the wood knocks mean.
Right.
I'm not going to draw in some rogue male that's going to throw me on the shoulder and take off.
Right, right.
And I'll take one for the team, but that ain't happening. So, no, I mean, I don't know what those wood knocks mean. I don't know what the whoops could mean.
Right.
So what I do is I just sit there quietly and listen and, you know, constantly looking around.
Right.
Yeah, so, no, I haven't practiced any of that. We may at some point do some call blasting with some of the audio I've recorded actually from here. We have been discussing doing that down the road here with my team.
Okay, let's do some whistles. Now, that wasn't a bird.
I don't think so.
Now, this next one, compiled warbler. What's a warbler, David?
I recorded it on Hartstein Island the first time I took notice of it, and I thought it was probably a turkey. Did some analysis, listened to turkey vocalizations through Macaulay Library of Sound, didn't match. So still not sure exactly what this is, but it's a vocalization recorded around the country.
Okay, our next audio, Cornucopia Compiled Clips.
These are just strange vocalizations and sounds that I have no idea. I don't even know if we want to even say some of them are Sasquatch related. They're just like Julie says, a Uari is a strange place.
Sounds like a dragon.
Yeah.
Some weird stuff.
I agree.
Well, I wanted to get through all of that so that we had time to hear all those sounds before I went into my questions, because it might take a while to answer my questions. Anyway, I'm curious, is there a difference between sounds, these suspicious sounds that are recorded during the daytime versus nighttime?
What I do is I start the recording right before the sun goes down, and I will have that recorder on, of course, while I'm out there or while I'm not out there. If I'm home and it's not inclement weather, the recorder's on out there. We haven't analyzed all of the overnight audio yet. I have started working on some of that. What you're hearing on all of these is mostly between the hours of right before sunset to around 1 o'clock in the morning. It seems like for at least where I'm at here, the majority of the sounds so far happens between the hours of right at sundown until around 1 in the morning. Then after that, it gets quieter. Now, I have picked up a lot of wood knocks. It seems like the wood knocks are the majority of things going on past 1 o'clock. You know, I do get some howls and different things, but it seems like this is mostly that period of time up until 1 o'clock.
Yeah. Do you think that Bigfoot is naturally nocturnal?
If I was an elusive creature, I probably would want to do most of my roaming about at night when the hairless ones are not out roaming around. If they are going to come out to in search of food, it would make sense for them to do that when the least amount of people are around, you know, because they don't want to be seen. They don't want to be found. At least in my case, what I'm hearing is if they are coming out looking for food and then they get their kill or they get their food or whatever they're doing, and then they start getting back together, if indeed there is a tribe of them, and then they head back home. It seems like they have an agenda and they get it done and then they move on.
That sounds like pretty deliberate action. Do you think that the sounds that they're making are very deliberate sounds? In other words, the sound that they make is very specific in some form of communication. And do you think that they ever try to communicate directly with you, or are they just communicating with some other beings out there?
Well, I can tell you that I do know that they know I'm out there, because there's been something banging on that particular shed. That the back of that shed is property that does not belong to me. The property right to my west is vacant. It has been purchased, but the people that live there are not moving in for 2 to 4 more years. There is a huge pond over there, and I think they know that I'm out here. You know, they may be trying to get my attention, or they may be communicating back and forth, saying, look, she's out, let's go, you know, let's go check it out, because, you know, maybe they're bored, I don't know. It goes on whether or not I'm out there.
Right, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, I get just as much on the recordings if I'm in the house as I do if I'm out there. But the banging on the shed usually happens when I'm out there.
Hmm.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that might indicate that they're trying to make some contact with you, or at least make you aware of their presence.
Mm-hmm. Right, and see if I'm paying attention.
Yeah, yeah. I had a question for David.
Okay.
In the, you talked about sounds that you had recorded in different places that were similar. That's a dog barking.
Good ear.
Is there a difference between the sounds that are recorded on the East Coast versus the West Coast?
I'm going to say that it's mostly similar. My sample size is probably not large enough to say definitely this or definitely that.
Yeah.
Billy, I'm cognizant of that. What I am trying to find are similar sounds, and I am finding that in lots of different locations, but there are variations in pitch, there are variations in calls, and I think that is maybe due to, you know, proximity, but they're similar, if I can use that term, in say in a long vocalization, there may be a nuance that one will have at the end that the other one on the West Coast doesn't, that kind of thing.
That's interesting. That kind of leads to my next question. In all this audio that you've analyzed, in the suspicious sounds, have you been able to identify any kind of organized language?
I'm catching things that sound like language. I think if you're going towards, have I recorded anything similar to Ron Moorhead's Sierra sounds? Only one time so far in all of my recordings, and that was here locally, here in the Northwest. But I am hearing what I would say are vocalizations like voice and speech, if that's kind of where you're going.
Yeah.
But but a different dialect, if you will, in different places. There seems to be a form of communication through voice, but not exactly like the Sierra sounds.
Yeah, that's interesting. I try to perceive Bigfoot as a social being, and social beings, you know, create language and mm-hmm. ways to communicate, and they relate to each other in very specific ways. So, that's my perception of of Bigfoot, is that it's a social creature. And I think by identifying, social norms within the Bigfoot communities, I think it tells us a lot about who they are, why they're there, you know, how they relate to us, and so on.
Julie,
one of the things, Billy, that I've been recording all across the country that I'm following is something that I coined a term called percussive voice. And I think we kind of touched on it the last time, but it has to do with a staccato way of verbalizing, if you will. It almost sounds like speech, but it's grunts, huffs, and clicks and mouth pops.
Yeah.
And that's a speech. Even within the human, there are places on Earth where people interject mouth pops in the way they talk.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Julie, what is the general attitude towards Bigfoots over there on the East Coast, or more specifically, the woods of North Carolina and in your area?
Well, in my area, it appears that they're very aware of their... They're supposed to be in the Uwari, okay? Finding Bigfoot was here 7 years ago, and actually went into the area not far from where Mike Green filmed the squeaky footage, if people are familiar with that. And they believe they did have an encounter when they were here. So the city of Troy is in the middle of the Uwari. That's where they went when they were here for the town hall. So people are familiar with the legends, the stories. I do have a neighbor that I've recently been talking to that has heard some of the same sounds over there at his place. It's a mile away from my house. So I am working on some of my neighbors. Mm-hmm. And, it wouldn't surprise people because, you know, they've heard of them being in the Uwari, and I don't think that they read no trespassing signs. So I think they just come on over wherever they want.
Right.
And, like I said, I'm working with a neighbor up here, and I recently did an interview with him about what's going on down there, and we will be doing some night investigations at his place as well. And, you know, we do go over to the Uwari and do investigations. It's not just here at my place. So what we plan on doing in the coming months is have half my team at the Uwari and the other half here recording at the same time to see if I'm catching vocals and different things as well as they are in the Uwari, to kind of compare to see what type of activity is going on in this region at the same time.
So before we get out of here, Julie Wrench, how can I hear more of the projects you're involved in, Monster X Radio?
www.monsterxradio.com.
Thanks for taking the time to talk with us today and for sharing your audio with David and with us.
Yes, we really appreciate it.
No problem at all. And if you think you know what these sounds are and you want to shoot me some audio, what you think they might be, I'd be more than happy to check that out as well.
Well, that'll do it for this episode of Strange Harbor. If you'd like to hear back episodes, if you want to contact us or contact Bill and yell at him for his new age TUI, log on to strangeharbor.net.
And stay strange.
You're listening to Strange Harbor. Ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange. Online at strangeharbor.net. Strange Harbor. Be strange.